And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I'm Rick, and tonight we have another Appassimento. It's been a while since we've done that, but we're going to do one tonight. And we're going to see how it tastes. We're going to pair it with some foods. We're going to give it a fair and an honest review. And, we're going to sit back and relax and have a great time. If you're joining me for the first time or the 185th time, because this is the 185th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have my show notes, and they're right here next to me. But I don't always follow them. I don't always follow them verbatim. Sometimes I don't always follow them much at all because the show is a stream of consciousness kind of show. And it's driven by not just me, but by you, because you are a part of the show. Yes, this show is not about me. Now, I do tell my stories and, entertain you, so to speak, but the show is not about me. The show is somewhat about the wine. I mean, we open it and pour it and taste it and pair it with food, give it an honest review. And, we just kick back and relax with our favorite libations, but this show is really about you and me getting back on a Saturday night, as we do every Saturday night, just kicking back our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are, and our favorite stories, and just sharing them with one another and just having a great time. But get in the chats, talk to me, tell me how you're doing, tell me how your Thanksgiving was. Tell me how the rest of your week went. I want to know. I want to know how things are going on with you. Now, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion on the show. We talk about things that bring people together. Not that tear them apart, but that bring people together, as wine does, because that's what wine does. It brings people together. Let me show you where you can join in on the chats for the show for tonight's episode. You can join us live on our Facebook page at Drink with Rick. You can join us live on our YouTube channel. It is, just type in Drink with Rick in the search. You'll find it. It's going to pop right up. Should. Twitch channel. If you're on Twitch, go to Twitch TV. Go to twitch.tv/DrinkWithRick1. Drink with Rick and the number one. All one word there. Twitter is at Drink with Rick, not surprisingly. And on Odyssey. Odyssey is, just type in Drink with Rick or Drink with Rick : number seven, the number seven. You should find me right away because we're live on Odyssey as well. Look, if you are on Twitter, yes, you can watch on Twitter. So believe it or not, live, we stream on Twitter. We've been doing this for Twitter stream for over 3 years, maybe 3.5 years now, I guess. Also, the podcast, if you can't watch now, you can't watch later, it's fine. The podcast goes out at Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern time. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer Radio, TuneIn, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, podcastindex.org. And by email, if you click on the little blue button on the subscribe page at drinkwithrick.com, click on that little blue button, type in your email address, send it right off to me. You'll get the latest episode of Drink with Rick as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. And by the way, you can follow me on any of these venues. Please, if you want to, feel free to do that. There's no obligation, but if you want to, you can follow me, subscribe, and all that kind of stuff on all these venues. You can watch live also on our page. Our homepage is drinkwithrick.com, as it says right here. And I don't have a live chat going there, but if you click on the post for this episode that's running right now, you'll get a little comment box. Type in your comments in the comment box and click submit. I will respond in kind. It won't be right away because I can't see the comments come through live as I can on the other platforms, but you can do that, and I will respond in kind. And I'll read your comment on the show, on the next episode of the show. And that's what we got going on here. All right, I want to show you the wine tonight, but before I do that, let me get to the chats and see who's in the chats. And my lovely wife, she's in the chat on YouTube, and she says hi, and hi right back at you, my lovely wife, Chi. And by the way, she has prepared a nice little dish accompaniment to go with the wines, and to pair some food to pair with the wine. So I'm going to show you that in just a moment or two. And yes, we have she's prepared a nice little dessert that I actually showed off Thursday night on the Drink with Rick, a Drink with Rick Thanksgiving special. If you missed that, you can catch that anytime. It's available on demand. And we had a good time there. It was a special one-hour show. Went a little bit beyond 1 hour, hour and 8 minutes. Not too far off. But it was pretty close. But she had a dessert that she prepared for Thanksgiving, and we're going to have a little bit more of it tonight because it is there is a national day associated with that. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. So we're going to toast some national days, by the way. And I have a little piece of animation that I said that I would show when I got it back. I got my films back. I'm going to show this little short piece of animation. Animation. I haven't had any wine yet, folks, believe it or not. I'll show it to you so you can see it and be amused and entertained. That's pretty much it's going to be a light show, folks. Yes, I promised my lovely wife, Chi, that this would be a light show. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put on a light show tonight. Yes. And she's going to hold me to that as well. All right, so this is what we've got tonight to open and pair. This is an Italian wine. It's called Campi Rudi Appassimento. It's a Rosso Puglia. It's a Passito, IGT Passito, I guess that's what it's called. Let me show you the back of this wine. I'm going to read this off to you. Campi Rudi Rosso Puglia Passito Appassimento 2020. This is a 2020 vintage. It says intense ruby color and a complex bouquet of ripe red fruit notes of cherry and plum. I like cherry and I like plum. Rich, no, that's not what it says here. That's my own commentary. Rich and ripe texture with spices and tobacco. Pairs well with savory dishes of game, aged cheese, and barbecue. Serve at 64.4 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, 68 is almost room temperature, I guess. Because I did not chill this, okay? I didn't read the back of this thing. I really didn't. I just pulled it off the shelf, and that's where it is. And it says PlumRidge.com is the, I guess that is the distributor. It is red wine, a product of Italy. It is 15% ABV in this 750 milliliter bottle of wine. So I'm going to have to watch myself. I'm going to really have to pace myself tonight. This could be a really light show. I'm going to have to keep an eye on what I'm drinking here. 15% alcohol, that's fairly, I mean, it's not the highest alcohol content for a wine that I've seen or that I've served on the show, but it's pretty high. It's higher than I like it to be, because as a general rule, I like my wines to be a little more subtle in the alcohol content. I like, you know, between 12 and 13.5%. That's really where I prefer my alcohol for my wines, because I really just want to savor the flavors of the wine and not worry so much about the alcohol taste getting in the way, if you know what I mean. And it can. It can on some wines. Some wines that are really bold, you can really get the alcohol taste in there. So that's what we've got going on tonight. And let me show you what my lovely wife, Chi, has prepared for us tonight. This little dish, this is what we're going to pair it with. We have some turkey, what's left over from our Thanksgiving turkey. It's a smoked turkey from Honey Baked Ham. I've got also this is from Trader Joe's. Both of these are from Trader Joe's, by the way. We get a lot of stuff from Trader Joe's. This is the unexpected pepper. I messed that up tonight. Unexpected cheddar with parm. And then over here, of course, is the signature Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda that has never had a miss on this show and has actually saved a few wines in its day. And also, yes, there are a couple of desserts there. We have a magic cake and we have a mango cake. Can you believe that? A mango cake. We're going to try these out as well. So that's what we had to pair the foods with tonight. Any comments before we progress further? And my good friend Ed is in the chat on Facebook. Ed says, Ed on Facebook, and I'm certainly glad you are, Ed. It's always great to see you. Ed says, I tuned in too late for Thursday's show. I saw it the next day. Well, it's okay. I mean, Thanksgiving is a big day. Everybody's busy on Thanksgiving, and I'm just glad you're here. How was your Thanksgiving, by the way, Ed? I hope it was a good one. I hope you had a great time. You spent it with some friends, family, you know, just got together with compadres and just, you know, sat down, had a nice Thanksgiving meal. I mean, Thanksgiving is my favorite time of the year. And Ed knows this. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year because it's a time where, you know, just get together with people and just have a good time. You know, that togetherness and that camaraderie. But Ed, I'm glad you're here, by the way. By the way, how'd you like Thursday's show? I hope it wasn't too dated by Friday. But I'm glad you were able to catch that. Anyway, thank you very much. And by the way, I did get to use that coffee mug that you sent. And once again, thank you very much for it because I had another coffee mug that somehow had gotten a little bit chipped. It was one of my favorite coffee mugs. It was one with a picture of my daughter Tia's face on it. And it kind of broke my heart to see that little chip on it. But it's, for that reason, I retired that mug. We just retired that mug, took it out of circulation in the household. And I had my next, you know, I had a cup of coffee with your mug. So it was very fortuitous that you sent your mug when you did because it's become the replacement and a favorite mug. So I really appreciate that. It was just in time for coffee. Thank you very much. Okay. So, let's see what's going on everywhere else in the chat. And Yanagami Sama is in the chat on YouTube and Yanagami says, "Hey, Rick, how are you? And how?" Right back at you, Yadagami. I'm doing fine. And how are you doing, by the way? It's great to have you here. And how was your Thanksgiving? How are you doing? How's your week been? I hope you've had a great one. And let's see. Where else we got here? Oh, yes, Twitch. There's Twitch. And CM Cinder is in the chat. CM Cinder says, I am here with cake. Well, I'm glad you're here with cake because we're going to have some cake together because it is a night for cake, to be sure. Yadagami and Ed, I hope you all have some cake or a reasonable facsimile thereof because we're going to toast some cake here. And I'll tell you all about it here in just a little bit when we get to the cake part. Tom Antio is in the chat also. He says, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And good evening to you, Tom Antio. It's great to have you here as well. And I know that Tom would like to have some of this cake. He's had some of this cake already, I think. And what a cake it is. Okay, well, let's get to opening this wine so we can get to the cake. All right, so let me get my foil cutter here and get a good close-up on this. So we've got the wine. Oh, you know what? I don't need the foil cutter tonight. You know why? Because this one, a few of them do, some wines do, they have this little tab here, this little pull tab. So all I have to do is pull. Some of these I have a tough time pulling them because they don't, they just barely stick out, and then you got to get your fingernail in there real good. But this one comes off all right. There you go. Oh, what do we have here? I think this looks like a synthetic cork. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it is a synthetic cork. The only concern I have about that kind of cork is because sometimes these mechanical corkscrews don't work very well in them. Let's see how this one does. Hopefully this fares well with it. There we go. Oh, comes right out. There you go. And yeah, they're using more and more of these days. And I can understand why. There are a lot of reasons for it. But okay, overall, I think that came out quite nicely. That's good. It's a little concerned because I've had a few times when, you know, it just didn't work very well on these the ones that are not really as dense as this one. This one seems a little denser. But that's good. That's great. And now that we have the wine uncorked or decorked, as I like to say, TM, I'm going to add the aerator to it and get that in there nice and firm. And to hold the grape nectar, I have my trusty Galway Genuine Irish Crystal Glass, given to me by my employers at buytuileryreviews.com. I'm going to pour just a little bit of this wine in here. There we go. Set it aside for a moment or two. I'm going to give it a good swirl on the Drink with Rick coaster, the official Drink with Rick coaster, the official coaster of Drink with Rick. I'll give it a nice little swirl here. Now people say, does the swirling really help? Some folks say, it's just a thing to show, and others say, yeah, it really does help. Actually, it does kind of help. It does. There's some mythology to all this, but it does kind of help. It really does. So we're going to swirl this a little bit, and we're going to set it aside. Now, I'm going to set it aside for an extra minute or two, and there's a reason why for this. Aside from the fact that I did not chill the wine first, but I did do some reading up on this wine and found out a little bit, and found out that it is highly recommended that it be decanted first for a couple hours or an hour or more from what I was reading. I just skimmed through it, and I just saw a few notes come up here, and people were saying, yeah, you really want to kind of decant this. In fact, Cellar Tracker, I'm on Cellar Tracker site right now, which gives it an average score of 89 points, and they're basically saying, yeah, you really want to decant this thing for a while. So I think, is that the one that said? Yeah, it says needs, someone said it needs a lot of it. So I don't know, hopefully, well, I don't have time to decant. I only have about an hour and a half, a little less than that. I promised Chi it was going to be a light show tonight. And you know what? It's going to be a light show tonight because, well, it's going to be a light show. There we go. We'll get boom. It's going to be a light show. There's my light show. Maybe I can make it a little bit. Here, let's see if we can. There we go. Give you a real light show. See, I kept my promise to you, Chi. It's going to be a light show. All right. I know that it was a bad joke the first time I did it a few weeks ago. And it's getting worse every week. Okay. So we've got this decanted. Let me check the chats one more time. And let me go to, okay, we've got everybody's up here. And I'd like to know how your week went and what you're drinking now. If you're drinking anything now, it's okay. If you're not, but if you got some cake, access to some cake, you might want to bring that out because we're going to have a little cake party too, such as it is. All right, let's learn a little bit more about this wine while it's decanting. Just going to learn a little bit more about it and. This is where, and I already told you a little bit about it, that it does seem to need some decanting. Nothing I can do about that at this point. I just can't blow into it or something. You know, can't take a strong, you know. Not the same. But what I did find out was on Wine Searcher that most of the prices here were for... Well, for sales outside of the U.S., mostly in Europe. Now, it is an Italian wine, but I had a tough time trying to find pricing on it here in the U.S. And there is a winefriend.de in Germany, North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany, $9.32, That includes a 19% sales tax. Now, I want to make a note of this here because usually when I give the prices out, I say, oh, this is all excluding sales tax, and this is all for the United States. I didn't have any pricing for the United States, but I thought it was really interesting that when I go to Europe, like say in Germany here, this place in Germany, $9.32, including 19% sales tax. That is wow. I mean, sales tax here is like 7.5%, and 19%. That's pretty high. Abel's Wingen, and that's in the Netherlands. That's in Netherlands and Gelderland, $9.84, and they're giving this in U.S. currency apparently. Both of these. No, it's not 19%. 21% sales tax. This includes the 21% sales tax, but still 21%. Wow. That's something else. Okay. Well, that was a rude awakening for me. Now, I would tell you what I paid for this because I purchased this at Trader Joe's, but it was some time back. And for some reason, I no longer have the receipt with me because there were other wines on it and I retired that receipt already. And so I took it away from my desk here. So I no longer have the receipt. I misplaced it from that point. So I really don't know exactly what I paid for this bottle, but I think it was somewhere around the $10 mark. I want to say it was around $10 for the bottle. We can look it up on Trader Joe's. It was, you know, kind of a median price range, and I thought it was a little bit priced a little bit higher than I wanted to pay for it because there were less expensive Italian wines on the shelf. But we hadn't really tried this one before, so I thought, well, no, I'll give it a try. Why not? But it's been sitting back here for quite a while, so that receipt's long gone. So I really don't know what I paid for it, to be honest. But let's see if it's worth paying anything for, because I'm going to give this wine just a little bit of a taste. Before I do that, let me check the chats one more time. And Tom Antio says, had some today. Yes, you had some of that cake today. And which cake was it? I'm going to tell you all about it in just a little bit here. I'm excited to really dig into this cake. Chi says, light show. I'll start eating the cake and we'll keep eating until the show is over. Not much left, by the way. Uh-oh. Chi is really chowing down on the cake. I will do my best to keep it a light show. All right, so let's give this... Have I covered everyone here pretty much for the moment? Okay. Where was I? Okay. I was going to mention Vivino. Let me go to Vivino here. Hold on a second. Because they had a star rating on here. Vivino gave it a 4.0 star rating out of 47 ratings, and this is for the 2020 vintage. And their price on here was $10.20 as an average of all the users reported prices. I want to say that's about what I paid for. It was about $10, maybe a little bit more, but it was around that range. Okay, let's go ahead and give it a whiff. Yeah, there's definitely cherry. And, I don't smell any plum, but smells a little leathery. Smells a little bit leathery. Let's go to taste. Lots of cherry. And yeah, I'm tasting a little hint of plum, but it's a little overpowered by just how bold this wine is. This wine is very bold. There's the first taste, I'm getting a little bit of tannin here. Let me see. Yeah, I'm getting some tobacco. It did say on the label, I think, there was had sort of a tobacco place taste to it. If you go back to the label, it says fruit notes of cherry and plum with spices and tobacco. I am tasting some tobacco, which I smelled as leather, but really more like tobacco. And then a little tobacco and leather. Medium tannin in the wine. That's super tannic, but it's very bold. And yeah, I can taste a little bit of the alcohol in here. It's a pretty high alcohol content in this wine. Now keep in mind, this is not a super dry wine. It's kind of semi-dry. It's not super dry. It's semi-dry. She still might not like it because she prefers the sweeter wines, but it's okay. I like them drier, but this is fine. It's not super sweet. It has a very long finish to this thing, and it's still a lingering finish. It's going down, and it's a really long finish. And it's not a very smooth finish. It's really, really long. It lingers quite a while. It's not bad. It's just, I'd say it's a little bolder than I like some of my wines to be. And I've mentioned this before, but you know, it's okay so far. I definitely agree with the other commenter that I read online is that, I think it does need to be decanted. I think this is a little bit, I haven't had it open long enough really, but my personal opinion on this wine, yeah, it probably needs to open up for a couple hours, at least an hour, and just really just open up before really you start drinking it. Otherwise, it's a little bit too bold for me, I think, in some respects. But we will leave it open. We'll let it continue to open up. I'll pour a little more in the glass, and we'll give it. I think a lot of it too is the alcohol content. That 15% is, in my opinion, pretty high. But you know, some folks, that's what they like. They like the more alcohol, the better in their wines. So let's get back to the chats for just a moment, and then we'll get to the wine pairing with the foods. And so, Ed, I hope you're having a great evening, by the way. And What's Up is in the chat. What's Up? Thanks for being here. And also, I'm not sure if I know how to pronounce this right. JL188 is in the chat. They're both in the chat. It's great to see you both in here. And JL188 says, drink, drink, drink with Rick. What's Up says, how can wine be dry? It's a liquid, so it's wet. Duh. Well, it's... Oh wow! I only have an hour and a half to explain that one. JAW188, Rick. It's not my favorite wine. Continue sips. Yeah, well, there is some irony to that, isn't there? But you open up a bottle of wine, you don't really want to waste it. It's not bad. It's really not bad. And Gabagool Luigi is in the chat. Sorry about that. And it's my eyes. They're getting old, like me. It says, my oldest just turned 18, so I'm off the hook for child support. Can you recommend a good red to celebrate? Wow. There's a congratulations for that in order. We'll have to do a congratulatory toast for that in just a few minutes. Let me go ahead with the pairing, and then we'll get to that. Your oldest just turned 18. He or she, I'm not sure what. So I'm off the hook for child support. Congratulations there. And a good red to celebrate. Wow. What do you prefer for wines? You prefer a dry or sweet, semi-dry? You prefer a... and yet, to answer the question for dry and sweet wines, there are wines that have a certain sweetness to them. The ones that are not sweet, we call them dry. because they lack that sweetness. It doesn't mean they're dry in terms of they're not wet. It just means they're not sweet. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's the simple answer. I hope that answered your question, what's up? So, GABA, I want to say congratulations on your milestone there and recommending a good red. Let's see. I would say something good for that, probably a good safe bet that could go with a lot of different things would be a good Pinot Noir, if you like a good red, a good Pinot Noir. If you like a drier reds that are a little bit really on the cherry side and then a little more, have a little bit more tartness to them, I would say, or maybe something that you could pair with a pasta, maybe something like a good Zinfandel or a Chianti. I have a preference for Chiantis a lot as well. I love the Pinot Noirs. So Pinot Noir is usually a good safe bet. If you don't know, like if you're serving at a party or something and you really don't know what people like, that's usually a good safe bet to take to a party because it's not too heavy. It's fairly, you know, it's a little bit lighter, but it's a red, it's a dry red, and it goes well with a lot of different kinds of foods. So that's usually pretty good bet on that. Let's get to the pairing, and then we can get to all the toasting, because we're going to toast GABA, too. How about that? We're going to toast that. So let's run over here to camera 3. Camera 3 is up. Now, let me show you what I have here. I have, first of all, we're going to try the turkey. We're going to try it with the smoked turkey. Now, with this appassimento, they do recommend it with gamier meats, but I think in this case it might work because this is a smoked meat. Even though it's a white meat, it's a smoked meat. And I'm thinking gamier meats like venison or bison or something like that. But bison's not too gamey. It's more rich, but not so much gamey. But maybe venison or something like that. But this is a smoked turkey, and it might go okay with it. We'll see. And it's a great smoked turkey from Honey Baked Ham. A little bit dry now because of the white meat. We ate all the dark meat for Thanksgiving. A little drier now because it's leftovers. Okay. Now, this is interesting. Now, I said this wine is not too dry. It's kind of dry, but not too dry, but it does add a tinge of sweetness with this, paired with this turkey. And because the turkey has been smoked, I think that's what brings it out. It's a tinge of sweetness to both, which is very interesting. I'm going to clear the palate for a moment. Let's go back to camera 3 and let's pair it with this is the cheddar. This is the unexpected cheddar with Parm is what this is. So we're going to try it with this. This should go fine with this cheese. It's a fairly sharp cheddar, medium to sharp, but there is Parmesan mixed in with the cheese. This should go pretty well with this one. Oh, nice. Very nice. What it does do, the Parmesan, the sharpness of the Parmesan, is a little more subdued, but it brings out the taste of the cheddar a little bit more. And I like that. That's a pretty good pairing. Not bad. Joe says, I want wine now. And now I want turkey. The turkey was very good, by the way. What's Up says, the only thing I know how to cook are Philly cheesesteaks, but I haven't found a good wine to have with it. Wow, Philly cheesesteaks. You know, a wine for Philly cheesesteak. Let's see. My cousin makes a really good Philly cheesesteak because he's from Philly. I'm not sure where you're from, John, but he makes a great Philly cheesesteak. And the last time when they were down here, he brought the meat and the cheese and everything down from Philadelphia, and he cooked it up for us right there. But what he served us, I think what we had with that, we may have had the one of the Bola wines with it. And I can't remember which one, but it was an older wine. And it was, we opened up a really fine wine for a couple of meals with them. And I don't remember which one that we opened. I'll have to think about that. All right, let me clear the palate one more time. And then we're going to try it back to camera three. We're going to try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. And once again, we've never had a miss on the Double Cream Gouda. I don't expect us to have one tonight. This is creamy. Now, what I do think might happen is that the cheese might cut a little bit of the boldness of this wine just a little bit. Let's see. Okay, that was nice. It made the wine, once again, like it did with the turkey, it made the cheese a little sweeter. I have to say, I kind of like that. Not bad. So this wine seems to pair pretty well with most of the foods. It's just, I think it's just the boldness of the wine. And once again, I think what I read online about it having to be open for a while to really appreciate the wine, I think that's probably the case. I probably should have decanted this for at least an hour or so, maybe two or three. So I don't know if I go 3 hours, but maybe an hour and a half or so, I think is what's needed. Well, let me clear the palate one more time. Went down the wrong windpipe there. Okay, with the wine paired with the food, we have two more items here. And those would be the two cakes. And we're going to get right into the toasting so we can get right into the cakes. There is a reason for this. What's Up says, I know it's very basic B of me, but I really like Trader Joe's truffle pecorino. You know, I've never tried that. I've seen that. Yeah, the pecorino. I've seen that in Trader Joe's. I've never tried it. We'll have to give that a try. You know what? I like recommendations from the viewers, so I'm going to give that. Let's try it out here. Truffle pecorino. I'm going to try that and report back on that. We'll give that a try. What's Up says it's very good. I'm sure it is. I just never tried it before, and I like to try new things, so I'm going to give that one a try. I'm going back to Trader Joe's and probably Monday or Tuesday evening as well, so I'll be looking for that. I'm going to keep this on hand. All right, so what do we have? Oh, yes, it's time for the toasting. Now, before we get to the national days, let's give a special toast. Let me make sure I have everything in place for that. Do I have that in place? Yes, I think I do. Well, I don't have my... Yes, I do. Well, I didn't because I turned it off. Okay, now I do. Now I have it. All right. Let's give a toast of fireworks or up. Let's give a toast to Gabba. Congratulations, your oldest turning 18, off of child support. They grow up fast. Huh? Well, I guess in some ways. so you're off the hook. Congratulations. So I've got the national days coming up here. Let me pull them up. Gabba says, thanks, Rick. Cheers. And right back at you. All right. National days are up. Let's switch over to the national days. because this is our toasting thing. By the way, this is courtesy of CM Cinder, who does graphics work, and she can do your Twitch graphics and your YouTube and other podcast graphics and things like that. You can send her commissions. That's at tiasavoya.art or tiasavoya.com. All right, so let's go ahead and toast the national days. Now, November 26th, for another hour and 12 minutes, it is National Small Business Saturday. This is Small Business Saturday. The Saturday after Thanksgiving is Small Business Saturday. This is very, very important because, you know, it's small businesses that really drive this country, that really drive the economy, and that employ really most of the people in this country. So we really want to support our small businesses. And it's very likely that some of you out there are small business owners and entrepreneurs, and that's your livelihood. And if that's the case, this is your day. And this is a day where you want to go out and support the local small business, you know, the mom and pop places and the places that really have a tough time and have had a tough time for years competing with the big guys, you know. And it's tougher. It gets tougher and tougher all the time, especially during COVID. There were a lot of small businesses that pretty much went out of business because they really didn't have. I mean, some of the big businesses, they've got deeper pockets, and a lot of them could hang on. But a lot of the small businesses, it's really, really tough, and some of them really couldn't survive it. Others were just hanging on by the skin of their teeth, as you would say, the old saying goes. My mom used to say that all the time. But she used to say that to me about getting through class. You just passed that course by the skin of your teeth. And I'm like, that's pretty close because I didn't know my teeth had skin. Got to brush more often. Small Business Saturday. Anyway, here's to Small Business Saturday. I support small businesses. I have run a couple of small businesses, so I know what that's like. So here's to Small Business Saturday, Saturday after Thanksgiving. I'll drink to that. All right, now we get to the good part. Today is also, November 26, 2022, is also National Cake Day. Yes, I said it. It's National Cake Day. That's right. National Cake Day. Yes, in honor of National Cake Day, we have some cakes. Not just any cakes. We have a couple on this plate. But let me show you the cakes that we have. I love cake. Too much, as a matter of fact. Yes, cake is what made me the man I am today. And I got to work a lot of that off the next 6 months or so. Anyway, so cake. Let me show you some cakes. Now, we had for Thanksgiving, my lovely wife, she made this. It is really, really good. This is what she calls her magic cake. It's a magic cake. Now, Jal says, wow. Yeah, I said that too the first time I saw it and the first time I tasted it too. And then we paired it with some food here on our Drink with Rick Thanksgiving that we had Thursday. I had some, I paired it with the wine that we had, the white wine, the Chardonnay. Oh, wow. It was awesome. It was just awesome. Ed says 100 years ago today, Charles Schultz was born. Well, I have to say happy birthday to Schultz. Oh, man. 15% alcohol. That's what it does. Ed says, think Charlie Brown and Snoopy. I do think about Charlie Brown and Snoopy. Let me get back on that here for just a moment. Yeah, Charles Schultz was born today. Well, we have to give a birthday shout out to Charles Schultz. Here's to Charles Schultz. Happy birthday. Yes, the creator of Charlie Brown and Snoopy and Peppermint Patty and Linus and Lucy and you can't forget. Yeah, Woodstock. Woodstock the bird. That's what I was trying to think of. All those characters. He made some really iconic characters that lasted for decades. And as a matter of fact, Thursday, the Thanksgiving Day, I think I made a slight reference to Snoopy and Woodstock. The Thanksgiving, you know, the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Who hasn't watched that, right? You know, where's the turkey? Where's the mashed potatoes? What kind of Thanksgiving is this, Charlie Brown? Because they're serving up toast and popcorn. That just cracked me up the first time I saw it, the first 10 times I saw it. Okay, anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, National Day. So it's National Cake Day. See how this works, folks? This is how this works. You drive this show. We just go off on so many tangents, and this stream of consciousness show. Yadagami Sama says, my Thanksgiving was great with family and a couple of beers. I don't have any wine right now, but I'll toast with a Smirnoff Ice. Smirnoff's good. Nothing wrong. Look, there. It just says drink with Rick. It does say drink wine with Rick. You can drink whatever you want to drink. As long as you're legal to drink it, it's fine. Yadagami says, how was your week? I would say that it was a very, very interesting week. A lot going on. Maybe if I get some time, I'll get back to that a little bit later. Chi says, Maria is also watching. Well, shout out to Maria as well. We had Maria over as a guest, a very old friend of ours. I'm not saying an age. I'm saying we've known her for a long time, okay? I'm not giving away her age. No, we've known Maria for years and years. And a really, really sweet lady. And she did something really sweet for us tonight, too. So this is what I'm going to show you. We're going to try both of these. We're going to try... There are two cakes here. So we're going to pair a couple of cakes. I'm going to go to camera three first. This is Cheese Magic Cake. First of all, and we have that for Thanksgiving. Oh, man, I hate to tear up this garnish. She really did a great job. But this has, let me tell you about this cake a little bit. It's hard for me to, I'm going to have to move this off camera and grab this whole plate. It's hard for me to reach it. This cake has two layers to it. Let me show you the picture again. Okay, there are two layers to this cake. One layer is... on the bottom is the cake. The top layer is actually a flan. Yes, it's flan. So basically the way she bakes this is she puts the flan in first and the cake on top. And then after it's done, she flips it over so the flan's on top. But pretty amazing cake. And it went great with the wine that we tried. It was, do I have it up here? No, I don't. The bottle that is. But it was a great, great white Chardonnay. It went great with the whole turkey dinner and went really well with this cake. It was amazing. It was amazing. We're going to try it with this one now. This is a red wine. We're going to try it with this cake. This is such a great cake. And this is for, oops, I forgot my, it's for National Cake Day. Wow, that's rich. That's good. You know, even if it's not a dessert wine, wine and desserts go, for the most part, go pretty well together. This is no exception. Really good. I think I like the cake better with the white Chardonnay. But this is not bad either. This goes together pretty well with the Chardonnay. So we have another cake. I better clear the palate a little bit. All right, I'm clear the palate a little bit. I'm going to take you back to camera three because, well, let me take you to the chats first. Let's go to the chats and see what's going on. Okay, good. Let's move on to the. I can hardly wait to try this one. Really, honestly, this was a surprise. This was really a nice and a sweet surprise. Literally, a sweet surprise. Let me show you what we have here. I just have to pull it up on camera three again. Pull up camera three. Over here in the corner, we have this cake. And what that is on top is mango. And I actually have a photo of it, if I can pull it up, because I took a few photos of it. Ah, here it is. Look at that cake. Is that amazing or what? Is that, what a beautiful cake. So Maria got up early this morning and she worked in the kitchen and she baked this for us fresh in the kitchen today. This is a mango cake and it has, yes, those are mango slices of mango up on top. And then inside there is kind of a mango filling where she had the mango. She whipped it up into a filling. It was really, really nice. But this is a two-layer cake. The top layer is a sugar icing. The bottom layer is a cream cheese icing, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember correctly. I think the cream cheese icing is on the bottom. Also, this cake is gluten-free. So those who had gluten allergies can eat this cake too. And it's her recipe. She was in the restaurant business for a number of years. So she whipped this up and baked it this morning. And we tried it out this afternoon. And you know what? Nobody had the heart to cut into it. That's why we took all these pictures first. No one had the heart to cut into it because it looked so nice. It was just really, really, really beautiful cake. And we finally said, we got to have some cake. So I'm going to try a piece of this. This is a mango cake. It's. I don't know if I've got both. I think there's just one layer on here. Or maybe there are two. Well, we'll give this a little bit of a try. Going to have some Maria's mango cake here. Really good. Very light and fluffy. Sweet. Very light though, but wow, that I'm going to try that again. Hold on a minute. This is with the mango mixing into the wine. This is very interesting. That's a very interesting taste. I like it. Sweet, but it's kind of exotic. Wow, I like that. I really like that. Very, very, very nice. With a good mix with the wine. I bet it'd go great with Chardonnay as well. But I really like that with the cake. It's hard to go wrong with pairing most wines with desserts. A lot of wine. There are a few that probably I'd say there are better wines for it. But this one's okay. This is not bad to pair with the cake. So I would say to both Chi and to Maria, great job. Well done. Thank you for these cakes on National Cake Day. And Maria, did you know, I know she's watching now, did you know that today was National Cake Day? I didn't know until I pulled up the National Days. By the way, the National Days are courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is Marlo Anderson's website. And he curates all of these national days so we can all enjoy them and enjoy the history behind them. I have some information about national. Do I have one? Let me see if I have. No, I don't. I don't have one on National Cake Day, but it's kind of self-explanatory, I think. Here's the National Cake Day. Let's all drink to that. Wow. That does it for November 26th, but we're going to toast the days because there are only three of them to toast. Let's toast the national days for tomorrow because it'll be tomorrow. Well, we all know tomorrow never comes, but it'll be technically Sunday. It'll be Sunday in about 58 minutes. My, how time flies when you're drinking. So November 27th is National Bavarian Cream Pie Day. Oh boy, another dessert. This is the weekend for desserts, isn't it? I like Bavarian cream pie. You like Bavarian cream pie? Some people don't like it as much, Boston cream pies and things like that. Some people do. I like Bavarian cream pie. I like Boston cream pie. I like I like those cream pies. Yeah, I do. Pie and cake. This is the season for it, right? Here's to National Bavarian Cream Pie Day. It's also National Craft Jerky Day. Let me tell you about National Craft Jerky. Because I pulled this up from nationaldaycalendar.com. National Craft Jerky Day on November 27th recognizes that craft jerky is the standard by which all other jerky is measured. I didn't know that, really. It awakens the taste buds and ignites the opinions of jerky fans the world over. Do you like jerky? Do you like jerky? I don't know of anybody that doesn't really like jerky. I love jerky. I love jerky. Good jerky. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of good jerky and some that's kind of mediocre, but I like a really good jerky. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, the day focuses on artisanal creators of this dehydrated seasoned meat and snack extraordinaire. This is 15% alcohol by volume, folks. There remain those who satisfy the world's craving with original carnivorous creations in a world sedated by jerky marketing gimmicks. National Craft Jerky Day honors those who blaze their own path in the meat market. I did not know this until, I used to watch, I haven't watched it much lately, but I used to watch Shark Tank a lot. And they had some guys there that had their own brand of beef jerky they were trying to sell to the sharks and get some financing for. And one of them, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Mr. Wonderful over there or Robert Herjavec, one of those two guys that made a mention that said, one of them did, I can't remember who, but they mentioned that, you know, how saturated the jerky market is already. And he's telling the guy, you know, you're in a tough competitive market. There's just so many players in this market. It's really tough to get in there and stay in there. I never really thought about that much. I mean, because I'd go out and buy some jerky. Sometimes I'd go up in the mountains and buy some homemade jerky. And then occasionally I'd buy, you know, some jerky in the store. But I never really thought about just how many different brands of jerky there are. And it really is. I mean, there's a lot of competition in the jerky market. Some of the jerky is okay, but there are a few that are that I like a lot. I'll say, yeah, you know, love jerky. Here's to National Craft Jerky Day. I'll drink to that. And I drank a little more just for good measure because I love jerky. And I've had jerky with wine, by the way. There are some wines that actually go pretty good with jerky. I'm not going to go into all those now, but yeah, I've had some pretty good wines with some jerky. All right, What's Up says, I made sweet potato and pecan pies for Thanksgiving this week. Let me scroll up just a little bit. What's Up says, I'm not so good with cakes, but I do make pies. Can you have wine with pie in the same way you do with cake? Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, in some ways, I think we've had some pies that we've paired with some of the wines before in the past on the show. And some of them go really, really well with cake. In fact, I would say in some ways, I think some pies, depending on the pie, some pies, especially particularly fruit pies, will go really, really well with wine, even better than cake with wine. And the reason for that is because you've already got that fruit element in the wine, and you've have that fruit element in the pie. And once again, it depends on the pie, but and a little bit on the type of fruit pie it is. But apple pies go pretty well with a lot of these. Cherry pies, I would say strawberry pie. I think we've had a strawberry pie on here once, if I remember correctly. And so a lot of different pies like that will go really well with a good wine, a red or a white. I would say that if you have a pie that's a little more on the citrusy side, you know, like a lemon meringue or something like that, that'll generally pair pretty well with, say, like a white wine that's maybe semi-sweet. You can actually a dry sweet semi-sweet, well, any of them will work, but I would say sometimes it's good to go with semi-sweet or a drier white wine because you get the sweetness of the pie and the sweetness of the wine, and that can just kind of overpower everything. But for me, anyway, I mean, some people really love the sweeter is better. For me, I'm not so much. But the well, you could pair that with a number of white wines that have like a lemony or fruity flavor to them. The wine that we had Thanksgiving evening had a kind of a lemon, had a little bit of lemon to it. And I think it would probably go good with like a lemon meringue pie, that kind of thing. There are a number, I think you kind of want to pair the type of pie, you know, if it's a fruit pie, especially with the wine that will complement it with similar fruit flavors. Like, for instance, a cherry pie. This might go pretty well with a cherry pie, I think, because there's a lot of cherry in this wine. I'm tasting a lot of cherry in it. What's Up says, I made sweet potato and pecan pies for Thanksgiving last week. Ooh, how's your sweet potato pie, by the way? Because I told this one during the Thanksgiving special, but we were always buying the sweet potato pies from Honey Baked Ham for years, and then they changed whoever made the pies, and they changed the supplier, and all of a sudden now their sweet potato pies, their souffles there are not as good as they used to be. So last couple of years we had them. So she decided to make her own this year, and she made a really great one. It surprised all of us. I think it surprised her a little bit just how good it was, because that was really her first attempt, I think, to do that. And it was really good. It went great with the wine we tried as well. So, yeah, good sweet potato pie. That could go pretty well with some reds or whites. Josh says, after that, combine all the cakes, cheeses, and meat in one bite, then sip. I don't think I'm going to be quite that adventurous with it, but thanks for the suggestion, but I don't think I'm going to be quite that adventurous. Wise Up says, it's very good. I've been using Alton Brown Sweet Potato Pie 2.0 recipe. Oh, I'll have to check that out. Maybe we can get Chi, you're familiar with that recipe? Maybe you can check that out, try that out. And oh, let's see, let me check the other chats here for just a moment. Okay, kind of quiet there. So, Yadagami, how my week was? Wow, it was it was a little, we had a lot going on this week because we were doing our promotions at Buy Two Way Radios, and Tommy and I were doing all the promotion stuff and trying to get everything up for Black Friday and Cyber Monday and that sort of thing. And so it was a little stressful at first, but once it got home and just kind of decompressed a little bit, it was okay. And we went up to Blowing Rock, took Maria and my sister-in-law, Benny, up to Blowing Rock for a day trip just so they could see how it was. And I always enjoy a Blowing Rock. It's just, it was really, really cold yesterday up there in the mountains, and it was really packed. I mean, there were just people everywhere, and we had a tough time even trying to find a place to eat. We tried to find a place for lunch to eat, but everything was so packed. It was like a 2-hour waiting list for everything that we wound up actually having dinner there instead of lunch because it took so long. But overall, you know, it's been pretty good so far. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. Okay, let's finish. Oh, yeah, the national days. I'm still working on the national days, aren't we? We got one more. One more national day, which is also a big deal. November 27th, which in 48 minutes, it's going to be November 27th, 2022, is National Secondhand Sunday. That's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Now, I kind of tell you a little bit about this because it's pretty cool. For a lot of you who would know, Ed in particular, I think you know, you've seen Tim Bartlett in the chat, an old friend of mine from my days at WFL at Fox 35 in Orlando. He and I worked together there for many years. And his daughters, both very, very talented daughters, one in particular an Instagram influencer, and the other one has started her own business with secondhand clothes. And I wanted to give him a shout out, and his daughter, particularly Sarah Bartlett. I wanted to give them a shout out because they really have done an amazing job with her business, and that it directly ties into Secondhand Sunday. Now, I'm going to read this from NationalDayCalendar.com. The Sunday after Thanksgiving, we celebrate National Secondhand Sunday to embrace secondhand gifting while supporting secondhand sellers and circular fashion during the peak holiday shopping season. With the holiday shopping season in full swing, National Secondhand Sunday offers consumers a chance to embrace and reshape the perception of secondhand gifting. Today, we want to encourage everyone to consider a secondhand gift for everyone on their list. Why shop secondhand? Now more than ever, there is both a need and a willingness to embrace the power of secondhand gifting. In a recent 2022 survey conducted by Morning Consult, more than 90% of U.S. adults are open to receiving a secondhand or resale gift this holiday season. In addition, more than half of those say they are very open to receiving something secondhand. And there are a lot of environmental benefits to this too, because you're not, you know, it's less you're throwing out on a landfill. So it's very good for the environment as well. And I'm reading this from nationalencounter.com, except for the last bit, which is my commentary. But I'm all for that if it's good. Just don't send me any empty bottles of wine, okay? That's all. Secondhand wine, not so much. But a lot of secondhand items are, it's really good. You know, you got them in good condition. There's nothing wrong with that. Look, there are people that re-gift fruitcakes. And we've talked about that before. We'll talk about it again in the upcoming episodes, I'm sure. But there are people that some of these fruitcakes make the rounds, you know, being re-gifted to one person and then re-gifted to another because nobody wants the cheesecake. It's great to pass on, oh, a cheesecake, just what I always wanted. How do we get rid of this? Well, give to them. You know, that's how it works. And so on and so forth until the thing's so old and moldy that you can't even give it to the dog. We have a raccoon in the backyard that might eat it. I don't know. It's pretty bad if the raccoon won't eat it. But the thing about regifting, I think there's something to be said for that. So getting back to my friend Tim and his daughter Sarah started this thing called Canyon Couture. And I've talked about them a lot. You know, he comes in from time to time and joins us on the wine stream every once in a while. But I was following them when they were starting this thing up. It was really cool. Something I thought about doing at one point. And they take an old school bus. They took an old school bus and they completely redid this thing. They gutted it out and they completely remodeled this thing, restored it into a shop, into a clothing shop, and like consignment clothing, you know, that kind of thing, secondhand clothing, and really, really made it nice. And they take this bus, what was a bus, it's now their Canyon Couture shop. This is Sarah's thing. She's won awards for it, and she's been written up for it in papers and things like that. She's gotten a lot of recognition for it. But she goes around Orlando and in the Central Florida area, not just Orlando, but I think they've been in Melbourne and a couple other places. But she drives around the Central Florida area and sets up her day shops. You know, just sets it up for a day or two and at events and whatever. And sells the clothes right out of her bus, out of her shop, which is really, really cool. I think that's pretty awesome. Anyway, she has from her website, and her website is canyoncouture.com. That's canyon-couture, C-O-U-T-U-R-E.com. Okay, this is not a paid endorsement, okay? I'm not being paid to promote any of this. I'm just saying I like this personally because I think it's a pretty cool idea. It's a pretty cool concept. And it's what she calls Orlando's mobile vintage shop. Now, I'm going to read this from their website here just for a moment. It says, your one-stop shop for one-of-a-kind clothing and funky home decor. All of our merchandise consists of curated / reworked secondhand goods, meaning no two items are alike. Canyon Couture is the perfect place to find gifts and statement pieces for your home or wardrobe. Our mission is to combat climate change by keeping clothing out of the landfill and providing alternative options to fast fashion. We are a mobile business and operate out of a 1997 converted school bus. Our goal is to provide environmentally sustainable shopping that is both affordable and accessible. So basically what she does, she has this, what she calls a pop-up store that on wheels that she drives around and sells these out of. And it's really nice, really cool. So I want to give a shout out to Sarah Bartlett. I think it's an excellent idea, and I hope you're doing really well with it. Looks like you're doing really well with it. I think it's a great idea. Anyway, here's to you, Sarah, and congratulations. And I wish you continued success with this, and especially on a secondhand Sunday. And here's the secondhand Sunday, by the way. I will drink to that. But if you do send me a wine bottle, make sure it's full. Not secondhand wine. So WhatsApp has shared a recipe with us, and that's okay. You can do that. Shared a recipe with us on Twitch. I'm going to send it over to Chi. Chi, you're watching. I'm going to send this recipe over. Check that out. It is Alton Brown recipe, silky smooth sweet potato pie 2.0. Check that out and see what you think of it. Maybe it's something that you can make and we can try it out. It sounds like a pretty good recipe. Thanks, what's up, for the recipe recommendation. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm actually going to post it on, let me go ahead and post it on Facebook as well. I'm going to send this, can I do that? Here. There we go. Let me forward it over there. So everybody's getting the link. That's okay. I approve this one. I'm pretty sure this one's safe, right? AltonBrown.com recipe, silky smooth sweet potato pie 2.0. Give that a try. See what you think. Let me know how it goes. And Chi, I think she will try that out. She always loves trying new recipes. What's up says it's a good one. I can hardly wait to try it. Chi, we got to try this. We have to try this. All right, well, I think that does it for the National Days, right? It sure does. Once again, this is what we're drinking. We're drinking the Campi Rudy. This is a 2020 Appassimento. It's a Rosa Puglia. It is IGT Pasito. This is, so far, I'm liking the wine okay. It's just a little bit bolder than I would like. I mean, I knew it was going to be kind of bold, but a little bolder than what I like. And, but it's okay, and I think as it's opening up, it's actually getting better. I don't know if that's because the bottle is opening up or because I'm just getting down into the bottle, and I've had a bit of this. So maybe a little bit of both. Huh? All right, now there's one more thing I want to show you here while I'm at it. Now, you know what I like to do normally is I like to show, if I can, some of my films. And I want to give you an update on some of that. I have had a batch of my films. As many of you know, back in the day when I was younger, I was a filmmaker, Super 8 filmmaker. My buddies and I, we made a lot of films on Super, quite a few on Super 8 and 8mm. And I've started restoring some of these films, getting them transferred to digital and getting them restored thanks to NicholasCoyle.com or what's called NegativeSpace.com now. And I've been doing this in batches because I have quite a bit of film to transfer. I've got quite a bit more to transfer, but I just got the latest batch back, had a chance to look them over yesterday, and there's some work that has to be done on some of the audio because they've been in storage for so long. A little bit, some of the audio is not in the best shape. If you remember The Fan, for those of you who watched The Fan a couple of weeks ago, that was one where I really, really had some issues with the audio because it was on magnetic stripe tape. There's a magnetic strip on the film, and over time it just degraded a lot. So I had to do a lot of restoration personally on the audio end of it. But I've got a couple more that are sort of like that, but for the most part it turned out okay. And I've got some more films to show you in the upcoming weeks and next couple of months. One of these things I did want to show a clip tonight, if I could, one short clip, because I had been talking about a show that we had done, that I'd produced and directed back in the early 80s called Filmmakers. And it was shown on a local cable. And this was a show where we would showcase local amateur and semi-pro filmmakers. And we'd interview them, and then we'd show some of their works on TV. And one of the early episodes, I just transferred over, and it transferred over fairly well considering the age of the tapes, because they're all on 3/4 inch U-matic. Do I have one in front of me? No, I have them. That's over there. But they've been stored in storage for a better part of 40 years. So didn't fare as well as the films, but it's still watchable on the transfer. Anyway, if you recall, any of you who watched one of the animated films that I made that I showed in the past called Harry's Climb, a character named, you know, Harry Oglethorpe, I showed this film a couple of times. Ed, you would remember Harry. Well, Ed worked on Harry Oglethorpe film, the Harry's Climb film. We were doing this was back with we were doing stuff on cell animation, where you'd draw the hand draw everything, transfer them to cellulose acetate sheets, clear sheets of plastic, the way Disney did it in the old days, and turn them over, paint them, and then shoot them on film. You know, put them in front of an animation camera stand and shoot it. This was old style, old school stuff. So the Harry's Climb film, we took the same character and we wanted to make an animated opening. I like to do stuff that nobody's done before. It's basically the kind of thing I like to do. So on cable TV at the time, the local stuff, everybody was doing the same old, you know, talking head kind of thing. In front of the same old sets and that sort of thing. And I wanted to mix it up and do something completely different. So we made this animated opening. It's a 40-second opening to our show. And it turned out to be one of the most popular shows on that cable TV channel, 3 channel on Fridays. And we did it for a couple of years. But anyway, I'm going to show you a clip from this. This is just the opening clip. The same character, Harry Oglethorpe, in original music by Jim Chamberlain, also known as Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. And if you're ready to see this, Ed, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I'm going to show this right now if everybody's ready. And let me check. She says, sure, and thank you. She's got the... Okay, so what's up, my lovely wife? She has the recipe. She's going to check it out, and she's going to give it a try. And so we're looking forward to that. Anyway, here is... It's only 40 seconds long. It's just the opening to the show. But this gives you an idea of the kind of animation we were doing back then. This is the opening to the Filmmakers TV show. That's how we open the show each week. And then what it would do is you know, we'd have a wipe down to black and then wipe up to the set with the host and the guest, and host would be interviewing the guest. And that particular episode, our guest was Doug Torta, my good friend Doug, who passed away a few years ago now. And he was the guy, if anybody remembers watching News at 6, when I showed News at 6, he was the guy who played the Sergeant Joe Smith character, you know, hawking the fake book and you know, how to recognize fraud. And the whole thing was a fraud commercial. It was like a scam commercial. And he was also the sportscaster on the show. And one of the guys being interviewed, the guy being interviewed in front of the nuclear power plant before it blew up in News at 6. If you've never seen News at 6, you can go back and watch. We ran the whole, just about the whole film. I can't remember which episode it was. Maybe we'll run it again. We'll run it again one of these days so you can watch the whole film. Classic, classic stuff that we did in high school. Anyway, that was that's the opening to The Filmmakers. I don't remember if you remember The Filmmakers show at that point, but Ed helped us out with a lot of the music and a lot of the animation and that sort of thing back then. What's up says... Tom Antio says solid animation. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I've been told that the animation got better after when we did this, the animation was at was better at that point. But I'm excited to show you some of the other films that we've got coming up, and I'll be doing that in the coming weeks and next month or two. And hopefully you'll enjoy all that. Anyway, so I think that does it for our show tonight, right? We've got most of this. We covered most of it tonight, I think. All right, I think as everyone knows that we've got coming up for the holidays. Every year for the holidays, I give away a lot of stuff, and we do some fun things. This year, we're going to do what we did last year, and we did it as an experiment. We're going to try it again this year during the next couple of weeks leading up to the end of the holidays, the end of the year. We're going to be doing the drinking game, the Drink with Rick drinking game. And it doesn't require you to drink. Don't worry about it. If you don't drink, don't worry about it. But you can win prizes on it, and you will... You'll have a good time. You know, everybody gets involved in the chats, and we all have a great time with it. So I've got everything ready for that right here. So I'm excited to get that going here. And this will start in the next couple weeks. So I hope you'll join me for that. Also, I wanted to give another round of applause to my lovely wife, Chi, and to Maria for the wonderful job done on the cakes. Thank you very, very much. It was much appreciated. I really, really liked it. I think you deserve this one.
Oh, there you go. Oh, wow. That's a good one.
They were both good ones. They were great ones, as a matter of fact. So thank you very much for both of those. And I've got to restart my diet now. I've already blown my diet for the rest of the year. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. It's time to close it up. I want to thank everyone who joined me. I want to thank my good friend, Ed. Thank you for being here tonight. And as always, I really appreciate you very much, my friend. Also, Yadagami-sama, thank you for being here also. And I hope you... We'll have a great rest of the weekend as well and have a great upcoming week. And we hang out here again next week. And also, everyone who joined me on Twitch, I want to thank CM Cinder and Tom Antio. And is it JLaw188? And what's up? And Gabba for being here as well. Everyone who joined me tonight on Twitch, thank you very much. And if I missed you, I apologize. I think I got everybody there. Everyone who joined me on Odyssey and on Twitter, I'm sorry I couldn't really see the notifications on Twitter too much, but thank you for being here. I do appreciate each and every one of you, and I do mean that. I do want to bring out one more celebrity, and I think you all know who it is. I think it's none other than, of course, Roadkill Bill. Yes, the inimitable, the flattened, the chewed up Roadkill Bill. The ripped up, torn up squirrel that he was, is Roadkill Bill. At least his squeaker still works. Roadkill Bill. He is the official mascot of DrinkWithRick.com, and he's here with a very special message. Bill says, do not, well, actually, I say it, but, you know, it's like, it's just a dog toy. The message is, please do not drink and drive. Please drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your office, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever it is. Don't drink and drive, please. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend, get a bus, call a taxi. Best to just stay put, really. Because I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can all join Bill and he and Bill and me together next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.